have been studying in the book of Acts for some time, and we tonight are going to continue there. If you have your Bible, we'd like you to turn with us to the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. Our last study was on the first 16 verses of the chapter, and along the lines of Ananias and Sapphira. And I realize everyone's very familiar with that story. And tonight, we want to look at the remainder of this chapter with the help of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's begin to read tonight in verse number 17, knowing that what's taking place is that there's a lot of folks that are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many folks being healed. There's wonders, miracles, and signs being done. And the growth of the church is great. And there is much opposition. For the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they do not want to see the church grow. They want to see religion grow, but they don't want to see Jesus' message reaching out into the world. We begin with verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now we remember what the Sadducees believe. They believe that there is no resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. Verse number 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, when I read these verses, and I think about verses 17 all the way through verse 28, I think about God's appointment. You know, God has an appointment for everybody. Everything that happens to us, good or bad, God has a purpose. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All things work together for good. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. We believe that with all our hearts. But these apostles have the appointment of God. And I want you to know the appointment of God for them was to be arrested and imprisoned. Preacher, I don't feel like that's the appointment of God. Why, sure it was, if you believe that God is sovereign. If you believe that God's in charge of all things, those apostles, when the hands were laid on them and they were arrested and thrown in prison, they weren't thrown in prison without God okaying it first.
That's right.
And everything that happens to you or to me, you must know that it doesn't accidentally happen to us. It passes through the hand or the will of God before it ever happens to us. There is no such thing as an accident with God. Amen? So I see these apostles have been arrested. They've been imprisoned. I wonder if they begin to question and doubt God. Wonder if they begin to get discouraged. Don't you think maybe they, flesh just like you and me, they could have got discouraged. Lord, we've been out here preaching and teaching your name. People's being healed and great things are going on. And now here we are locked up and imprisoned. Somehow I think in the middle of a prison cell, they was going to serve God right there. You know, I found out in the Word of God that God allows prison situations to come to your life and to my life to show us and teach us to let us serve Him even though we're behind prison bars. God will do that. If you'll serve Him behind there, some dark night when you least expect it, He'll release you. So we see their arrest and their imprisonment. And look at verse number 19 and 20. We see angelic intervention. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. There they were, locked up for preaching by the Sadducees, ready to have court tomorrow. Maybe they're going to kill them. Maybe they're going to hit them with a rock or two. No matter what, they're getting ready to face trial in the morning. Their situation was very, very real. And in the nighttime, when it was least expected, came the angel of the Lord and opened the doors of the prison and said to them, go and stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. What is this life? I'll ask that question of you. This life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The angel says, I want you to go.
Well, what had been Jesus' message to them there? Said, I want you to go into all nations and preach Jesus Christ to all the world, amen. And here they are in the Jerusalem area, and the angels come and release them from prison and said, go. And then he says, stand. You know, the devil's doing all he can to get you to quit standing.
Amen.
He wants you to lay down and take a nap. He wants you to stick your thumb in your mouth and suck on it for a little while and quit going out and telling people about Jesus. He's doing everything he can trying to bring you down, to discourage you. And the angel of the Lord said, I want you to go, and I want you to stand. Put on the whole armor of God and do everything you can to stand. You know that whole armor of God, I sat down and began to study that armor. You may say, well, that's good defense armor and it's good fighting armor. You know what? It'd be real hard to wrestle and fight and grapple with that armor that they had on. Preacher, what do you mean? The armor that they had there in the book of Ephesians, you know what it is? It's parading armor. In other words, the devil's going to attack you. Your job's just to stand for the glory of God.
Amen.
And you can stand on defense. Now, you can go on the offense and you can attack him. But I want you to know, my friend, the Lord's the one who fights all our battles.
Right.
He's the one who goes in front of us. He's not asking us to fire a shot. He's asking us just to stand and speak. Hey, they some of us are real good at speaking.
Amen, preacher.
We're real good at speaking. We just don't speak the right things.
Amen.
Amen. We want to speak all the words of how I want to murmur and how I want to complain. That's what it is we want to speak. The angel says, I want you to go. I want you to stand. And I want you to speak. And the message I want you to speak is all the words of this life. I mean, this appointment God's given you. You tell them how you've been locked up in a prison and an angel showed up and let you out. A lot of people wouldn't believe that. Imagine if I'd have walked in here tonight and said, well, I was locked up in prison this morning and an angel come and let me out. Well, some of you would meet after the church and find out why the preacher was locked up to start with, amen? And then you'd want to dismiss him, amen? That's the way it works nowadays. Those boys were simply in prison for preaching the gospel, and by then the angel of the Lord has come and got them and told them to go out and tell the message all the words of this life, how good God is. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
What he's done in the past, he'll continue to do.
Amen.
He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's what he's able to do for us. So I see the angel has made some intervention here, but I want you to notice there are some appointments indeed that these apostles are going to be part of. Some appointments indeed. Let's look at their appointments. We've already seen they've been appointed to prison, and then they were appointed to get out of prison. Look with me in verse 21. They've been appointed to go out and preach, and their message is to preach the whole counsel of God. Don't leave nothing out. They said all the words of this life. You know how it is for most preachers nowadays? We want to preach what's popular.
Yeah.
We want to preach all the words of this life. We want to preach the choice words of this life. What to make people feel good. What to bless your socks off and make you want to shout and grab a chandelier and swing around on it. What to make you want to look the preacher in the face when you leave and say, boy, that sure was a good message. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too bold. Didn't bother me at all. I sure like that, preacher. That's real, real good. Amen? That's not what these apostles do. They're going to preach all the words of this life. They're not to leave nothing out. They're not to change his message one iota. Amen? Look in verse 21. When they heard that, when they heard this angel, they've been released. They entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They were teaching the whole counsel of God. They were teaching all the words of this life. Now, they did not procrastinate. Got quiet. Boys got real quiet. Are you like me? Well, you need to get such and such done. I want you to go do this. And you say, well, I've got plenty. Now that I'm out of jail, I got plenty of time. I don't think I'll go early in the morning. I think I'll sleep. I've had a hard day yesterday. I've been in prison. But no, they didn't procrastinate. First thing they did early in the morning was they went to the temple and began to teach. Ain't that something? I mean, they're there for the prayer room. Hello? They're there for Sunday school. Hello? They're there for the morning service too. And I'm telling you, they stay there all day long, teaching all the words of this life. They did not profess. They said, well, I'll go a little later.
They went as soon as the doors of the house of God was open. They were there.
They were doing what the angel of the Lord had told them to do. Would to God you and I learned to be obedient like that. Amen. We wouldn't profess anything about it. God say, won't you get them justified?
Well,
I will. Two weeks from this Sunday. I really plan on doing it.
Hey, God tells you to get up justified. Praise God, you better get up and let it fly. You don't need to procrastinate, put it off. You get up and tell all the words of this life. What God's laid on your heart, that's what do. But if God didn't tell you to say it, keep quiet. Keep quiet. There's so many people nowadays, they just want to have something to say so they'll look spiritual. Ananias and Sapphira looked spiritual. But they told a big lie, amen. And the Holy Ghost showed who was spiritual and who wasn't spiritual, amen. I don't want to say to you, my friends, a lot of people put on a show. Want to jump up and act spiritual and act like they know everything. Listen, I'm not super spiritual. I don't know everything. I don't know what you've done this week. I don't know where you've been this week. I'm glad I don't. Paul said, my desire is to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Right.
But some people think the preacher knows everything or has to know everything. Let me tell you something. Your pastor don't want to know everything. Lord, if I did, I'd get discouraged. Amen? And I'm sure if you wanted to know everything, and you let me tell a thing or two, you wouldn't want to know everything. You'd get discouraged too, amen, end up in a mud hole. These men had the appointment of God upon their leave, and they did not procrastinate. Are you a procrastinator? Girl, what about your husband? Is he? Would you check him off as a procrastinator or not? See, some of you is grinning, and some of you is grinning. I want to say to you tonight, we are procrastinators. We do not need to be that in the house of God. Amen? Now, not only did they have the appointment of God and they went out and taught the whole council of God, but there's another council meeting going on at the same time. Look what happens that next morning. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. They thought they were still locked up. They went to bed, laid their head down on that sort of perfect sleeper, and fluffed up that big old pillow and said, boys, we're going to have a council meeting in the morning. We're going to straighten some apostles. We're going to straighten the men of God out. You just want God locked up. They're shut up. And in the morning, we're going to straighten them out. And they got down there high and mighty, grinning ear to ear. They come together for the council meeting. And the Bible says in verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut. It's all safety. It's all safety. Do you see that? The angel of the Lord had opened the doors and let them out, and then the angel of the Lord shut the door back there. So when they went down there, they didn't suspect nothing. The doors were shut, it looked safe. And they thought, well, they're over there in the corner asleep somewhere. And the next morning, the officer said, hey, we found the doors of the prison still shut. We sure did. But when we opened, we found no man within. They've escaped. They've got out. And there wasn't no holes, and the door ain't been opened all night. Let me tell you, back in them days, a prison keeper, if somebody got out, his life was subject.
Amen.
If they did not find the escapees.
Right.
He was nervous, amen. He didn't want to have to tell the truth, but the truth had come out. Now, the Bible says in verse 24, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They said, Lord, have mercy. Somebody's going to find out that the men of God we had locked up has escaped.
Right.
Boy, this ain't going to look good. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. In other words, the men you locked up, they're out and they're teaching again. And there's a big crowd down there. There's people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting over discouragements, getting encouraged. I'm telling you, there's things happening down there. The very ones you locked up there.
Read.
Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Back to the apostles. Here they are, been doing great works and wonders, and the Sadducees get them and lock them up. That was the appointment of God.
But in the middle of the night, the angel came and let him go and told him to go and stand and speak all the words of this life. That was the appointment of God. And man is having revival. But the next morning when they all had their council of men meeting, they couldn't find them. They went out and found them down there at the temple teaching. And just when it looked like everything was safe, they laid hands on them again and brought them back under arrest. You know what it was? It was the appointment of God. He's got something he wants them to do. He said, boys, I've got something I want you to do. And so he takes them back. He has them to go back down there. And now the captains and the officers and the chief priests, they're afraid because the people's all excited. And they're praising the Lord. And they're fearing that for arresting these men of God, they're going to get stoned. I tell you what. Would to God, when somebody decides they're going to jump on the man of God, tear him down and talk about it, that a bunch of other folks in the church is just about getting ready to stone that outfit that speak against a man of God.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they say, really? Well, tell us more.
Rather than standing for the man of God.
My mind goes back to my Uncle Will over there in Hooper's Creek. Them two men come over to his house, begin to talk about his pastor. Uncle Will sat in his rocking chair, started putting his shoes on, started lacing them up, tying them. The men said, where are you going? You going somewhere? We're company. We've come see you. Where are you going? He said, I'm walking you to your car. You ain't even come to my house to talk about my pastor like that.
Amen.
That ain't welcome here. Get out. You may say, well, he's only about half saved. Well, then half saved will work. Amen. That's what a bunch of us need to get. You need to get a backbone and make a stand for the things of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, the people, based on what they had heard and what they were feeling, because God was blessing them, they were going to stand for the man of God. And it got them that was going to criticize the man of God afraid. They were afraid to go any further with them. And now, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? Did you see that? You should not teach. Remember, there was another time where this same crowd persecuted them and threatened them and beat them and said, you don't speak in this name anymore. They said, we can't even help. Speak what it is we've heard and speak what it is we've seen. Remember, I ask you the question. When you get squeezed, what comes out of you? You take a sponge, you put it in a bucket of water, you pick it up and squeeze it. You know what comes out? Water. Because that's what was in the sponge. You and I in our Christian walk, every now and then we feel like we get squeezed, so to speak. What is it comes out? Uh-oh. Is it the water of the Spirit of God? Or is it something else? If it's something else, you can look at that and say, I need that thing out of my life. So when I get squeezed, I'll have peace. When I get squeezed, I'll have joy. When I get squeezed, I'll just praise Him. And say, it's the appointment of God. Let anything happen to me today that God didn't allow. This is the appointment of God. Hey, I can tell you just a few chapters later, there's going to be two men named Paul and Silas. In the midnight hour, they've been beat. They've been thrown in the inner prison. The blood's running down their back. They felt the pain. They saw the blood roll off of them. Yes, it was real. And in the midnight hour, they sang praises unto God and called on His name in prayer. How'd they do that? You know why? They knew it was the appointment of God. That God had certainly sent them to that place. They was locked in there because they was down there preaching at a prayer meeting, and they threw the devil out of a young lady. And that made a whole bunch of them really, really mad. And you know what? They knew they were in the right place because they'd seen people getting saved. They've seen results. Let me tell you something. The divine appointment of God will produce results. And these men of God, even though they're off in the prison, they've been seeing results. They're there at the temple. And they know it's the appointment of God. Church, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There ain't one of you in this house tonight that's sitting here that's not here by the appointment of God. You think you just come on your own, and I'm going to tell you what, it was by the mercy of God that He allowed you air to breathe, clothes to put on, a car to drive, safety to get down the road, and to walk into His house. He's blessed you and blessed you greatly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Read on with me. We've seen God's appointments. These men they're back in custody again. Said, we told you, did we not tell you not to teach in His name? And behold, this is the indictment, God's appointment. This is what they're going to indict them for. Behold, you have filled Jerusalem
with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Would to God, if I was going to get talked about for something, it would be bringing the spruce pine the doctrine that Jesus saved. But that ain't what they say about me, is it? So I ain't doing my job just exactly right, amen? When you get talked about, it needs to be that you're trying to fill the city with a doctrine that Jesus loves you and has saved your soul.
Amen.
But we're talking about everything else rather than the doctrine of the Word of God. In fact, they said, and you intend to bring His blood on us. You're trying to say we're responsible for crucifying Him. You know what? All of us were responsible for His crucifixion because it was our sins that nailed the Savior to that tree. I may have not driven the hammer, I may have not given the order, but He was my substitute, for the wages of sin is death. And my friend, I want you to know that He was my substitute and took upon Himself my death. It was my sin that put Him there, even though I wasn't there. And you know what? He was looking ahead in time, thinking about you and I being dead here tonight, knowing one day you and I being needing a Savior.
Amen.
He is willing to go.
That's right.
He's omniscient. He knows it all, y'all. Praise the Lord. There's the indictment. You're going to bring His blood on us. We don't like your preaching. We don't like you. They're preaching by the appointment of God. They're arrested by the appointment of God. Everything in our lives is the appointment of God. Do you believe that tonight? You believe He's sovereign? I'm telling you. I went to preach the revival of the church, and the pastor told me, he said, I don't want you to come back. You're going to preach sovereignty of God. I don't want you to come back. I'm going to tell you what tonight. I did go back the next night. I lined up the sovereignty of God and I spun it again. And I'm telling you what, that dismissed me out of the church for the rest of the week. But I just shook the dust off my feet. I want you to know, my friend, you can know that God is sovereign. And there's not anything that breathes or anything that moves that He is not in control of.
Right.
Yet He gives you and I free will to call Him. But He knows what your decision will be. Isn't that amazing? Number two tonight. We'll try to move on. These next verses, verses 29 through 32, is gospel authority. Gospel authority. Then Peter and the other apostles answered. What's their answer? See, we ought to obey God rather than men. You believe that tonight? My friend, we ought to obey God rather than men. You told us not to preach His name, but God told us to go and speak, go with the words of this life. So which one should we obey? Should we obey you, lawmakers and magistrates and high priests and captains, and say, don't speak about Jesus? Or should I stand up and testify what God told me to do? I mean, who's higher in authority? Now, hear me now. Some of you may drive down the road doing 60 miles an hour in a 45. And when the officer pulls you over, say, God told me to do 60, and that makes it okay. It don't work like that. But I do. These men are not preaching civil disobedience. I believe one of these apostles here, Peter, and Peter's not preaching. It's okay to break every law of the land. That is not what he taught us in 1 Peter. Go over there with me. Hold your place right here. 1 Peter, chapter 2, I think. Follow along. 1 Peter, chapter 2. It's the same apostle. He's not preaching civil disobedience. He's not preaching here to disobey the laws of man. He says in verse 13, he's not contradicting. Do you believe the Bible is a contradiction? What are y'all so quiet about? We're going to stand there and feet and go home. You know that? Do you believe the Bible is a contradiction? No. Is there a contradiction in the Word of God? No, there's not a contradiction in the Word of God. He said, y'all don't obey God rather than man. And look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He said, I want you to submit yourself to the ordinance of man. Wait a minute. If he's supposed to submit himself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, when they command him not to speak, that means he's supposed to play shut mouth. And he's supposed to speak. Listen, he's not preaching civil disobedience. He says, you obey the laws of man. But when it becomes contrary to the Word of God, then you stand up and you suffer whatever consequences you have to suffer. The law came to Daniel and said, you can't pray and call on the name of any other God than the king.
Daniel, knowing the law had been signed, knowing the penalty, throws the window open, bowed his knee to his God, and called on God the Father. They arrested him, throw him in the lion's den for that. I mean, he'd broken the law of men, and now because he's broken it, he's going to suffer the consequences. It's a lion's den he's going into. But he knew God be there. And he stopped the mouth of the lions and fluffed up that big old lion's mane and slept like he had never slept before. I mean, no sort of perfect sleeper will you sleep on like you did on that lion there. I'm going to tell you what, he got a good night's rest in a restless kingdom. The king there was up all night long. Not Daniel. I believe you rested, my friend. Peter's saying, if it's contrary to the word of God, my friend, you need to make a stand. You follow that? Submit yourself, verse 13, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put aside the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Do you see that? Not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Not, you have a liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not supposed to go down the road doing 60 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour speed zone. The doctrine of the Word of God. Yet, my friend, I do believe with all my heart, you and I need to make a stand for the things of God. I don't care what the law of the land says, it's what the Word of God says that is the authority. Amen? Amen? You may say it's the Constitution. I believe no. Great document, but the Word of God is greater. Amen? Amen. We ought to obey God rather than man. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Jesus is the King of kings. Go back with me now to Acts chapter number 5. So he's giving them an answer here to what they told him. He said we ought to obey God rather than men. And that principle, that precedent has been laid out throughout the ages, that God is who we're to be obedient to rather than men. So my friend, look with me in verse number 30. We see what he's going to preach to them. I mean, he's been in prison for preaching, and as soon as they let him out, as soon as they bring him before the council, he starts preaching again. He looks at Rod 9 and says, verse 30 of Acts 5, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged upon a tree. Now, he didn't say hanged upon a cross. He said upon a tree because the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy in the law books, cursed is every man or every one that hangeth upon a tree. That Jesus was made a curse for us. And he died for us. He's preaching that Jesus is alive and well. He preached that he died for our sins, and he preached that God raised up Jesus. Raised him from the dead. He's preaching that to us. And verse 31, he begins to preach about the ascension. He says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So by this man's blood, you have forgiveness. That word prince is capitalized. You know what a prince is? He's the son of the king. He is the one person that is in line to the throne. Jesus is the prince. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior. In other words, if we believe in him, to all those who believe, you have forgiveness of sins. My friend, he has saved you from the penalty of death and or penalty of sin, which is death. Isn't that blessing? And he's forgiven all of our sins. He's in the middle of it, said, you're going to make us guilty of this man's blood. And he said, you slew him? He's still preaching today, man. I like it, hallelujah. He didn't back down. And we are his witnesses of these things. I mean, Peter's saying right here, we saw him. We saw this Lord Jesus Christ. We saw him crucified. And we saw after the third day, he's alive again. And 40 days later, we saw him ascend. And we know he's at the right hand of God. And look what else, not only are we his witnesses, and so is also the Holy Ghost,
whom God hath given to them that obey him. Amen. Hey, the Holy Ghost is a witness tonight. Yes. Amen? He is the witness. Hallelujah. And he lives inside our souls. Amen. What a blessing. So we see the gospel's authority. It supersedes everything. Amen? Last point we're going to be done tonight. Let's see Gamaliel's advice. Gamaliel's advice. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They're mad. He's made them guilty of the blood of this man. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space.
So you put them out here. I want to talk to y'all. Gamaliel stands up in the council. He's a Pharisee. A lot of other folks there are Sadducees. There's Pharisees, Sadducees. They didn't exactly get along very well. Gamaliel was a very well-respected Pharisee. He was a doctor of law. I mean, y'all go to doctors to get advice. Amen, all the time. And you'll listen to what they say. Gamaliel is one of the most experienced men on the council. Highly respected. In fact, it was him that trained up Apostle Paul in the law to be a Pharisee. You looking at it? Chapter 22. Verse number 3, I believe it is. Verse 2 or 3. Verse number 3. This is Paul telling his story of his life and how he got saved. He said, verse number 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. The highest, most well-respected doctor of the law was this man. Paul said, I was trained at his feet. I mean, I learned how to be a Pharisee of a Pharisee. I know the ins and the outs of the law. I know what makes it work. And taught according to the perfect man of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God as you are all this day. But you know what? He wasn't saved. You, my friend, you may know all the law. You may try to keep all the law, but the law will not save you. It will separate you from God. You will need grace to be saved. You'll be saved by grace through faith. Amen. Amen. What the Bible says. Amen. So Gamaliel had trained up Paul when Paul was still Saul, living in sin, faking in the name of religion. He was doing righteousness to make havoc of the church and to bring the men of God and have them arrested and had letters in his hand. He thought he's doing right. Do you hear me tonight? You know what a clique in the church does? A clique in the church thinks when it's persecuting others around them that they're doing right. Amen. That they're helping other people out to show them the error of their ways. When all the clique can't get in their head that they're wrong, that their self-righteousness, my friend, is wrong. Amen. It's a great deceiver.
But most people won't recognize it.
Right. And cliques in the church feed on that. Putting this in, putting that now. I mean, think about what's going on at East Waynesville. Oh, preacher, you better not touch that tonight. You might get in trouble. They might put you on you. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't exactly know the whole story about that thing, but it just makes you wonder if he said it in October, well, I took the May to get out. I mean, when I was taught school, January, February, March, April, May, amen, June, July, August, September, October, then comes November. What happened November? What happened December? Well, preacher, you defending him? No. But I'm just kind of wondering. I mean, now he left. Now there's 20-some other people left. These other people come back. I mean, what's going on there? Is that a clique here? Is that a power struggle going on? Let me tell you what the devil thrives on doing in churches, because I've seen it time and time again. You hear me? I ain't been preaching long, but I've seen them come, and I've seen them go. I talked to my grandpa, 87 years old, said I've seen them come, and I've seen them go. Time and time again. It's always the same thing. It's a power struggle over who's got more authority in the church. Let me tell you tonight, this preacher right here, I don't have a whole lot of authority in this church, but I guarantee I'm going to make sure you don't. It's going to belong to Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. My job is to come here and turn the reins over to him, and as long as he's sitting on the throne, which will be forever, amen, he's the head of the outfit. Amen. And my job is to make sure he's in charge, and no man is. And you may get it quick together and go head hunting, but I will stand high and stand proud that Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
Amen?
And I want to say that these apostles here are being persecuted in the name of religion. What the devil tries to blind people with. And don't gamble him. That same Pharisee, he's a dog in the law in Acts chapter number 5, verse number 34. In great education, he stands up, says, put those apostles over there a little place. Let me talk to you. He said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. You better be careful. Better be careful. Friend, you know, let me tell you something. You can take some advice right here. You better be careful how you treat other people. You better be careful what you say about. I've heard people say, well, so-and-so come up there and said they got saved. Now, I thought they was already saved. You better shut your mouth. Because what the Holy Ghost may have just done right there, a work of grace, you just opened your mouth against it. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, that person that stands up is going to have a battle the rest of their lives with the devil, and you run down here questioning whether they really got saved then or were saved before? I mean, it sounds like to me the devil would be using you to discredit somebody. Amen? Hey, my friend, the devil don't need your help. Devil needs your help. Keep your mouth off of them and pray for them.
Amen.
They got a battle enough as it is.
Amen?
He says, you better be careful how you treat these men. For, you know, he's going to, now, here, listen, he's going to give them an argument. That's what a lawyer does. A doctor of the law, he's just a good lawyer. He'll stand up and he's going to give you an argument. Here comes his argument. His argument is, every lawyer, when they begin to give you facts and evidences, they'll give you precedents. Things that have happened before that relate to what's going on now. I mean, it ain't amazing that God can take the word of God and things that have happened before and bring it right down to where you are now, and it helps you right where you are. I mean, the president will apply. Get real smart enough, and he stands up, that doctor of the law, and says, let me give you the argument. Let me give you the precedent. He says, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and broke to naught. In other words, he stood up and said he was the Messiah. And 400 people got behind him and backed him. And I'm telling you, he was the talk of the town. But he got cut down. And when he died, all his followers disbanded. I remember Brother Percy Ray called from the pulpit about Camp Zion down in Mississippi. To the pulpit, and he said, God started this thing. And he said, if when I die, and I leave this earth and go to glory, if the camp shuts down, God never started it. Percy Ray started it. After Brother Percy died, camp still meet. People still get saved. They still shouting out and having a time down there. You know why? God started it. Gamaliel says, if it's of the flesh, it'll run the course of the flesh, and it'll die, and it'll run out.
Amen.
Don't see a lot of hula hoops anymore, do you? But back there years ago, everybody was hula hooping. Everybody. Don't see a lot of Rubik's Cubes anymore. But there was a while there at school, everybody had a Rubik's Cube, trying to work them things out. Hey, man, some of you look at each other and say, yeah, preacher, you're right. You know what they were? They were a fad. They were a passing fancy. Old Thaddeus was nothing more than a fad. He was a false Messiah, who when he run his course, he just fizzled out. I'm telling you, this fizzled out crowd now, that IRS can hardly find him. FBI can't hardly find him. CIA can't find him. Don't be a fizzled out mess, amen. Thaddeus was a fizzled out mess. And he didn't stop there and said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. Let me give you another precedent, he said. Old Thaddeus had boasted himself to be somebody. You better watch that crowd that boasts. Better watch that crowd. Verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many obeyed him, were dispersed. So there's an old man named Judas. Boy, he got a real following there. But when something happened to him, they completely quit. You know what he's trying to say here? He's trying to say if it's of the flesh, it'll die like the flesh. It'll have corruption and decay. I mean, I could show you I could get in religion tonight, Brother Matthew, get in religion tonight. He'd probably show you a lot of things where there's been a lot of people. I mean, I could, Jim Jones.
Amen.
Man, a lot of people followed him. But when he died, it was a fizzled out mess. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Well, preacher, I ain't following no calling. Read on. He gives this advisement. And this is his advisement now. The advisement comes with the argument. He's going to give us some advice. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught.
Right.
If they're preaching about Jesus, and if it's of men, it'll fizzle out. Well, you know what? Look around. You're here tonight serving Jesus. Same one old Peter is preaching about there in Acts chapter 5.
Amen.
It didn't fizzle out.
Amen.
It's been of God.
Right.
It's the appointment of God. And it's you and I that are still tonight in the appointment of God, still trying to go out and win others to Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm telling you tonight, don't give up. God's got a reason for you being here. Devil's trying to get you down and out, trying to get you to give up. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a appointment for you. My friend, He wants you here for a purpose. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're here. Read on. But if it be of God, He said, if it's of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest happily you be found even to fight against God.
Right.
I know people now that think they're going to fight God. They're going to rebel and they're going to resist Him. Have you read Revelation? There's going to be armies all over the world think they're going to whoop Him.
Amen.
He just going to open His mouth. Woo! Down they go. One right after the other. And they're going to be turned into hell after the great white throne judgment. My friend, I'm telling you what, you think you rebel against God, you cannot kick against the pricks. You cannot kick against the rocks, amen? He is the rock. Paul himself, when he was there on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, said, you can't kick against the pricks. The church is going to stand, son, and out of the hell is out there. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. You didn't get saved, no, Paul did, amen?
Amen.
I'm going to say to you tonight, my friend, if it's of God, you ain't going to overthrow it. If the man of God preaching the word of God and the will of God, I don't care what you try to do to him, you ain't going to overthrow it. It ain't going to be overthrown. I like that, don't you? Hey, some people, I don't even like that. I like it. Now, he's got an advisement here, but now let's see an agreement they all made. We're going to close an agreement. And to him, they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, and beaten them. What? Gamaliel just said, you better not touch him. You better be careful. They're the men of God. And they said, yeah, if they're the men of God, you're not going to overthrow them. You're not going to defeat this gospel they preach. If it's of God, you can't overthrow it. But I wonder if Gamaliel wasn't thinking it was of men. Because they were preaching grace. And he was speaking law.
Right.
And I think he thought, let's just sit here and wait. There's a lot of people that are like that. You know, oh, so-and-so, I preaching down there at the Crossroads Baptist Church. He's one of the biggest drug dealers in Henderson County. He was at the service that night. Somebody come to me and said, preacher, hey, don't look back there. But on the fifth row, 185, so-and-so, biggest drug dealer. I know exactly who he is. I've run in some of his best buddies before and witnessed to them. And tonight I'm going to get preached to. I wonder why he's even there. I'll give you a little clue. It was the appointment of God. God sent him there. I wonder if you don't even wonder, what am I doing in a church? I'm drug dealer. What am I doing here? God doesn't preach that. I didn't preach, didn't mention drugs, didn't even touch it, just preached about the crucifixion and the rhetoric offering. Oh boy, on the fifth row jumped up. And there's many people in the audience. I mean, I'm telling y'all, he jumped the back of the pew and began to walk the back of the pew to get in the altar down there and got glory to say. I was going to have people shout all over the house that night. And you know what? I don't care whether it's the biggest sinner or the least sinner. They're all the same in the sight of God.
Right.
Y'all need a Savior. I want to say to you, amen. Oh boy, I got saved. There's people sitting there.
Hey.
Like the service brother said, what do you think? But you really got it. I said, well, you better not speak again. If the Holy Ghost did it, my friend, God can sign you out of here.
Amen.
You talk about what God just done. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just walk in the way. We'll see if he really got it. We'll see if he stays faithful to it. How many doubting whether you really got it or not. You know what? You've done the same thing some point in time. You've seen somebody come, well, that's just what you see.
That's just what you see. I want to say something to you tonight, my friend. If God really does the word of grace in somebody, you'll want to see, all right. You'll see a change. You'll see a new walk. You'll see a new talk. You'll see everything about it new. You know why? Because the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's because Jesus has made them a new creature. I'm glad he made me a new creature one day, ain't you? I'm telling you, I'm saying, boy, I'm deserving the mercy and the grace of God. He saw fit to save me. He made me new. I'm telling you, put a desire in my heart to want to serve him. I want to tell you, these men that dream, that's just watching away. But they went and beat them anyway. I don't know why you got to be beating on something all the time. Why do you always beat on something? Beat on this, harp on that. Why don't you just let the grace of God come in your life? Quit beating and harp away. They took the apostles. The Bible says they beat them. And again, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. They released them. I mean, they agreed with Gamaliel. Let's just watch and see. But we're going to beat them and threaten them again. So they did. Now they've let them go. So here they have. They've beaten them, my friend, and they've beaten them, and they've forbidden them to speak. But they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. I mean, how can you leave after a good beating? How can you leave after being forbidden, rejoicing? Say, boy, what a time we've had today in jail. Glory to God. They were rejoicing. You know why? They knew it was the appointment of God. They knew God allowed this to come in their life, and it was a blessing to them. Why didn't you do that? You can't start rejoicing when things go wrong with your house. Yesterday, I don't have a gas weed eater. Couldn't afford one of them. I got electric. I plugged it into the electric cord. Plugged the electric cord in there to the wall socket. Never began to weed eat. Just weed eating. All of a sudden it quit. And I knew it wasn't out of gas. I'm pretty smart. I look nice to it. Pulled the cord loose, put it back on there. It wouldn't do a thing. Put it back on. Man, what's happened? Well, I must have thrown the breaker. Went in there, breaker wasn't thrown. You know what I want to do? I want to throw the weed eater. But throwing the weed eater, I knew wasn't going to solve the problem. Well, maybe my preacher might shake you up a little bit, and maybe for the facility, it'd come. My weed eater, just, I tried to get today, it's as dead today as it was yesterday. And boy, I might go buy a new weed eater. Ain't that a blessing? I'm glad it tore up. Because it wasn't doing real good. I'm getting you. What a blessing. Hallelujah. You know, when that thing tears up and things go wrong, are you rejoicing? Do you rejoice when you are persecuted for the name of Christ? You rejoice when you're talked about? No. I want you to let me tell you a thing or two about them. I remember one time, Mazer Davis carrying his bowl of soup. Trip. Spilled the soup. Went all over the lady. Hot. Oh, she's trying to cool it off. Burn her. All over her dress. Tomato soup. I mean, that probably stained that white dress she had on. Don't you reckon, girl? Shake your head with me. Yeah, stained it real bad. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. She said, it's all right. Don't worry about it. I want a new dress anyway. No problem. And they was going to buy her one. She's tickled to death. The preacher sitting over there saw that and he said, you know, why can't I have the grace of God like that when things go wrong in my life? I'm the preacher. I ought to be rejoicing about things. Lord, and he prayed for 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, when the bowl of soup gets dumped out on me, help me to have grace. Amen. Well, somebody called him. Said, I tell you what, preacher, your message has been too long, been too bold, jumped on our toes. We are sick and tired of that. He said, you let me tell you a thing or two about how I feel about you two. You don't do this right, you don't do that right, no, but not knowing the bowl of soup just got dumped over on him. Amen. I mean, what happens to you when the bowl of soup gets dumped on you? When you get squeezed, what comes out? When the wind quits, what are you going to do? Hey, preacher, you really do that? I'd like to be in your backyard when it quits. I'm telling you, I can say, thank you, Jesus. That weed is all right. Preacher, you might have a bad cord. No, I checked that out too. And the cord still works. I hooked up the leaf blower today. After the hailstorm yesterday, I hooked up the leaf blower and I said, yeah, thank you, Lord. I'm using you weed eater. What a blessing. I'm going to say to you tonight, these men have went away rejoicing. Because why? They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. My daddy laying there sick, almost dead. 3 surgeries. Walked up to him. Tear running down his eye. Couldn't hardly talk. Said, "Dad, are you all right? Dad, if you're in pain, I'll get the nurse for you, Dad. Maybe they can get you some more morphine or something to help you." Seen them tears broke my heart. He grabbed me. He said, "God, told me to suffer for his glory here today." I didn't understand. I saved. But I would never put in my mind that God, I serve you because you have to go through these things. Hurts, trials, and tribulations. But I found out different. Amen. You can come. I think about my dad laying there. Weeping. Praise the Lord. He was laying there just to die. He's in pain. God help us. Things go wrong in our life. We get about God and question him. And why in the world we say, "Lord, why did you let this happen to me? I go to church every Sunday. I give a tithe. I try to do right. Why did this happen to me?" Do you think yourself too good? That something couldn't go wrong in your life? A lot of us do. You know what you ought to say? "Why not me, Lord? I mean, I do deserve this. I deserve even worse than this." These men have been beaten. They've been forbidden. But they've walked away boldly. And they're going to walk away still faithful. You know, it's amazing sometimes when things go wrong in people's life, the first thing they quit is the house of God. It's the only place you get help from. First thing you quit. But look what they did. "And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." They're faithful.
Amen.
God help us to be faithful.
Amen.
Stand with me. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God, for your blessings. And God, we realize tonight, Father, that the word of God in the book of Acts is very true for us today. Yes, there was persecution in the early church. Father, there was persecution today, but it's not like it was back then. It's so much simpler now. And God, if it were like it were back then, we couldn't take it, because it's all we can do now to handle what little bit of trials we get. God, forgive us. Help us to have boldness. Help us to have grace when the cup of soup gets dumped on us. Lord, I thank you tonight for the good number that's come this way. I pray, God, that you'd take the message, God, and use it and cultivate it in their hearts and help them, God, to study and think on these things. I pray, God, for the help of God to go forward and use my simple futile words. And God, I pray you'd bless them. Lord, I pray tonight, God, you'd touch each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight. You're at liberty to go. God bless you. Thank you for coming.